Welcome to New York, Quebec, and the water route to the center of the world. This is bonus episode 28, American Revolutionary Battles in the Caribbean. The threat of a trade embargo by the Continental Congress and wartime interference with shipping had hit the island of Bermuda hard. Barely able to grow enough food to sustain the island's population for more than a few months, Bermuda had relied upon the trade with North America to fulfill its nutritional wants. The situation on the island was growing desperate, as starvation was on the horizon, grumbling similar to the American revolutionaries to the north, could be heard. Henry Tucker was a leading member of the merchant community, and he wrote, "I think the colonies ought to hazard everything rather than to submit to slavery. For if the Parliament of Great Britain have a right to dispose of the Americans' property as they please, call it by what name you will, there can be no greater marks of slavery." While Bermuda could not be seen as supporting the disorder directly, a secret series of diplomatic exchanges by the summer of 1775 had produced an unspoken agreement with Continental Congressional officials. American ships carrying munitions would also be permitted to carry foodstuffs aboard. Word was passed to the Americans that the Royal Powder Magazine was filled and lightly guarded. On the night of August 14, 1775, the crew of the sloop, the Lady Catherine, performed a stunning covert operation on the island, ascending to the roof of the magazine unseen via rope. Then a sailor was able to unlock the bolted doors from the inside. It was said more than 100 barrels of gunpowder were carried safely to the Lady Catherine that night. This feat could only have been accomplished by the direct involvement of numerous British subjects on the island. The islanders received mainly salt to preserve their meager supplies, but the Americans had managed to acquire a crucial war-making component. The operation was so secret and the political risks so large that not even George Washington was told of the raid beforehand. The powder made its way up the East Coast and was eventually offloaded in Philadelphia. Interestingly enough, Bilbao in Spain was a major mainland European smuggling port. Both French and Dutch coastal traders would rendezvous with American powder runners in the city and repackaged munitions for export to for use on North American battlefields against the British. I've personally sailed around Brittany and hugged the coastline past France and into Spain. The route is a smuggler's paradise with plenty of islands and small inaccessible coves. On March 3rd, 1776, American Marines and sailors under the command of Esek Hopkins successfully captured Fort Montague guarding the port of Nassau, New Providence Island. The town itself would be abandoned by the British the very next day, and the small American fleet of 8 ships would occupy and loot the settlement for the next 2 weeks. In January of 1778, Captain John Peck Rathbun again successfully raided Nassau for the American cause. Quickly rising in the ranks of the Continental Navy serving under John Paul Jones, Commodore of the Navy Esek Hopkins had recommended Rathbun be given his own ship in 1777. It was Esek himself who had first-hand experience at successfully raiding British holdings in the Bahamas, and the knowledge that Rathbun happened to have participated in that raid under his command. So in him he saw the ability to carry out another important mission of distraction. After receiving intelligence from British Whig sympathizers in Charlestown, South Carolina, the Americans learned that Nassau was sparsely manned and the port contained some important British military shipping undergoing repairs at the moment. Captain Rathbun developed a plan based on deceit. He would disguise his ship, the Providence, as a local merchant sloop. Before sailing within sight of Fort Nassau's big guns, the captain planned to disgorge a small contingent of 25 Marines who would scale the wall and turn the guns on the town and harbor. Led by an officer who participated in the 1776 raid, the U.S. force exploited an unguarded sentry entrance and stormed the fortifications. To their astonishment, only 2 militiamen manned the fort, but could summon several hundred men to arms with a cannon shot warning. Expecting backup from their sloop, the Marines were discouraged when a dangerous storm forced the Providence out to sea. The next day was busily spent opening talks with friendly Whig British merchants and welcoming in a contingent of American naval POWs, who happened to be awaiting parole in the town. The Marines kept up the illusion of a large force, and men were sent out into the harbor to seize control of British military vessels. Meanwhile, the Providence and Captain Rathbun struggled to make headway back toward the port and finally got close enough to see the American flag over the position the next morning. After establishing contact, a British privateer appeared on the horizon and attempted to make port. Captain Rathbun disguised his ship and moved under the guns of Fort Nassau, but loyal islanders made their way out in boats to provide the British ship with a warning. The Gayton and its crew sailed to the other channel entrance to the port and led ashore a party of men to organize a resistance. Though a large militia of loyalists gathered around the fort that night, their presence was warded off by a strict warning that the Americans would fire on the town and shipping in the harbor. The Americans readied the British vessels for sail and left the harbor after holding the town of Nassau hostage for 3 days. Governor Gambier's embarrassing report to Lord North, "I am extremely sorry to acquaint your lordship that a very unfortunate accident happened here a few days after my arrival, and before I had time to make any disposition for the safety and defense of the island. On the 27th of January in the night, a party of Marines were landed from a vessel of war belonging to the American Congress to the westward of this town, who marched silently to Fort Nassau and took possession of it. Very unfortunately, there were many Americans here who had got passage from the West Indies, who went into the fort and joined them. They then pointed the guns on the town and sent a flag of truce to acquaint the inhabitants. If there was the least attempt made to raise any force to attack the fort, they would fire immediately on the town, and at the same time to assure them that none of the property of the inhabitants should be injured, which threat and promise prevented many of the inhabitants from joining me, and thereby the Americans considerably outnumbered the assistance I could get." The Boston Independent Chronicle news report of the raid on March 5, 1778, arrived at Dartmouth sometime last week. The sloop Providence, John Rathbun Esquire, commander, with a valuable prize, brigantine mounting 14 guns cut out of the harbor of New Providence, where he landed 28 men, marched up to the fort in sight of 300 men under arms, took possession of it, from thence went to the prison and released from their confinement about 30 American prisoners, captured about as many British, and tarried in the town 3 days, then made good his retreat without any loss after spiking up the cannon and stripping the magazine of all the powder. Thanks for listening to New York, Quebec, and the Water Route to the Center of the World. Please remember to leave a review and follow the show on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Audible, and my new YouTube channel, NYQC 1754 Podcast.